Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining me right now is Shail Ben Ephraim. He's a freelance writer. He's an editor living in Hollywood. He's a liberal Zionist. He's no stranger to Chai FM, and he's definitely no stranger to you. You've heard him many times. You've listened with full attention. Yeah. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Oh, listen to you. You're sounding so South African. How's it?
That's me. Where's the robot? Robot, yeah.
The robots, exactly, and the pavements, yes.
How do you say sneakers? Or you have a word for sneakers?
Tackies.
Yeah, tackies, that's the word.
Very good. Can we talk about Joe Lieberman, please? Tell us about him. I'm very sad.
Joe Lieberman is an icon, first of all, for American Jews. Not only was he one of the more successful Jewish senators, but he broke the glass ceiling by becoming a nominee for the vice presidency, and therefore within reach of the presidency on the Al Gore ticket in 2000. And in fact, considering that Al Gore got more votes and only lost based on a court case, you could even argue that he should have been the vice president of the United States. So that was his peak in terms of popularity for American Jews and in general. After that, he increasingly became more conservative to the point that he left the Democratic Party and became independent. The main break was over the Iraq War, which he supported even after most Democrats hadn't. Most Democrats supported it at first, but he continued well after everyone else didn't and basically left the party over that. And recently, he's been more Republican than Democrat in his opinions, though he did support Obamacare and other things. Don't ask, don't tell, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell from the U.S. military, allowing gays to serve openly, was also something that his vote allowed to pass. So as far as liberal Americans like myself are concerned, he has a very complicated legacy. As far as conservative Jews in America are concerned, he's become more and more their kind of guy. But I think we're all very upset that he's gone. And he's also a testament to a lost generation of centrists who tried to work across the aisle in a more polarized America. So I think most of us feel pretty sad that he's gone.
Yeah, you know, those are the senior statesmen and the senior leaders that we're seeing globally that are just, you know, they just don't exist anymore. You know, our politicians are very self-serving.
Once we lost John McCain, who was the great, and Ted Kennedy, those were the two of the great leaders who worked across the aisle, now losing Lieberman as well, and looking at the politicians who are left. And also, we've had politicians who are right now in Congress who reached across the aisle who have been booted out of politics, like Kyrsten Sinema, for example, Joe Manchin, who looks like he's going to stand down. People who like that, it's very sad because it's very hard to pass legislation when everyone hates each other, and that's why we're seeing government shutdowns and bills not passing.
Yeah. Also, a story that I saw is that they have retrieved the bodies of two victims from the Baltimore ship. It was in Baltimore, right? The Baltimore ship crashed.
Yeah. In Baltimore, the bridge collapsed.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Absolutely tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic situation, yeah.
So, what's your take on the United States and Israel, the status of the United States and Israel alliance?
Let me be pretty optimistic here. I think there's been a massive exaggeration of the crisis between the United States and Israel for public consumption from interested parties. In particular, the Republicans in the United States and, paradoxically, because it doesn't really serve Israel, Netanyahu specifically, not the government as much as Netanyahu personally. Netanyahu personally thinks that by showing that he's standing up to the United States and the entire world, he can shore up his domestic support. And of course, the Republicans keep saying that Biden has betrayed Israel so that Jews will stop voting Democrat and start voting Republican. But all this, you know, fuss is about things that are relatively minor, right? The cardinal sin that people are accusing Biden of abandoning Israel over is an abstention on a UN resolution that is has no sanctions or way to enforce it, and that is essentially in line with the Israeli position in the fact that it calls to release the hostages and that it calls for a ceasefire that is not permanent, a ceasefire that can later on stop. Of course, the United States didn't vote for it because it doesn't condemn Hamas, and they shouldn't have voted for it. And I think they should have vetoed it in order not to put pressure on Israel when, you know, Hamas is saying no to the deal. So I don't like think it was a good idea particularly, but I understand why they did it with a lot of domestic pressure on them. Recent poll shows that 55% of Americans think the war needs to stop. The rest of the world, every single member of the Security Council, just about every single member of the General Assembly thinks that the war needs to stop. So the United States is under tremendous pressure for it. And now it's talking to the Israeli government about allowing them to go into Rafah and finish off Hamas there as long as they evacuate enough people and keep the casualties.
I find it so ironic. I find it completely ironic that, you know, when people around the world, including South Africans, including, you know, people who don't essentially have skin in the game, are telling Israel how to protect their own citizens. And I think it's quite offensive. I'm just saying, you know, it's, I wouldn't want countries to tell South African government how to protect its citizens. It's, I'm quite offended by that. Shail, I have to go. We have to go, but we have to speak another time, please. I really enjoy speaking
Always
to you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Take care. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.